This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlug on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Whitney, and this is going to be episode number 22 of Within the Trenches. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's good to be here.
I know. You've been missing in action.
I've been MIA, but now we're finally here in Lansing. I made it halfway through the conference. I had to stay back and work at our center.
Exactly. Somebody's got to hold down the fort.
While you turds were out here having fun.
Exactly.
But I'm
so
here.
Yeah, so for everybody who's listening to this, we are currently at the Lexington Hotel in Lansing, Michigan. And we're here for the NENA conference, which is May 20th through the 23rd. And it's been great. I have been attending some excellent classes. You know, the first day we had an awesome speaker talking about different things, and everything has just been good. So I wish you could have been here in the beginning, but you're here now. We had some good classes that we attended.
Yep.
And
a lot of
now,
good networking.
Yes, exactly. And then I'm kind of nervous for tomorrow, though. Tomorrow, I got a presentation.
Not.
I know you're not. You're probably going to be there. Yeah, I know. I'm going to be messing up. I have a presentation tomorrow for the show, talking about my story, how I got into it, and everything else. And then talking about the show, and we're going to see how it goes. Hopefully it's not really hot in there.
It's been about 7 degrees in there, so I think we're okay.
Oh, excellent. So it'll be good then. All right.
I have hypothermia. It's getting dangerous.
Awesome.
I'm freezing right now, in fact.
Yeah. Well, for this episode, we have three people with us. And first, we have Sarah, who is the Dispatch Operations Coordinator with Washtenaw County. How's it going?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. And next, we've got Jennifer, who is a supervisor with Ottawa County Central Dispatch Authority. How are you going?
I'm doing good.
All right. Excellent. And finally, last but not least, we've got Bob, who is the NENA Regional Director with Entrado. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. We're having a great show and a great time.
That's right. It's right. You guys said that he had a good radio voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. He's nailing it already.
That's right. So how's it been going for you guys this week for this whole conference?
Anything memorable, exciting, any good classes you guys have been to? Not everybody at once. Careful.
I know. Holy cow.
Well, I think for me, it started out great the first day.
Uh-huh.
Like Ricardo was saying, they had this awesome motivational speaker that came in. Professional speaker, excuse me.
That's right. He kept saying that.
He was. And I thought it was really appropriate because we are professionals in the 911 field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're a call taker or if you're a radio operator or if you're a manager, supervisor, director, whatever. We are all professionals. This is a professional environment here, and it was a really great start to the week.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, man, I'm bummed I missed that.
Yeah, his name was it Jonathan Edison, was it?
Yes.
Right?
Jonathan Edison?
Mm-hmm. He was awesome. Yeah. Man, we're going to have to get in contact with him. As soon as that whole thing was over, I wanted to talk to him to get him on the podcast, too, because he did an excellent job. Now, Bob, you're the NENA Regional Director, so for listeners, for people who don't know about NENA, can you explain exactly what this conference is all about?
Yeah.
Sure. I'd love to. So NENA, the 911 Association or National Emergency Number Association, is the primary professional organization for 911 directors, supervisors, call takers, or telecommunicators.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national organization. And then it's fed by state chapters, of which Michigan has one of 40-some chapters across the country for NENA. And here within Michigan, we produce this annual conference.
Uh-huh.
This is the 27th year that Michigan has had a 911 conference. And I'm going to sandbag on you a little bit because one of the things that you didn't mention, and I probably didn't tell you up front, is that I have had the fortune of being the chairman of this conference for a number of years, work with a great team to produce these kinds of events. But the focus is education, networking, and helping people understand the technology and be able to educate the folks back in their communities about 911 and how to do the right things.
I'm glad you brought up technology.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a great point that we can all speak on. There's some new text to 911 things that are coming out that we have to be compliant 2014. I know that's something that makes a lot of dispatchers fearful, so maybe we can get into that later. Jennifer, what about you? Is there anything so far in this conference right now that you're excited to take back to Ottawa or...
Yeah, I've seen you floating around a lot,
I know,
going all over
like
the place.
Social butterfly.
Well,
flitting around.
Well, I think that this conference, I've been to this conference many years. It's one of the most professional organizations that I've had the opportunity to take part in participating in. And this year, this is my first year on the conference committee, and I have to give kudos to Bob. I've already done it today, but I'm going to do it again because he's been, you know, the pulse, the heartbeat of this conference for many years. And I've never worked with somebody that's so organized, that's so on the ball as somebody like him. So I have to give kudos to him. But this conference this year, I mean, I've been to this conference several times, and the educational tracks on this conference this year have just been incredible.
I'm really impressed looking at the class schedules. There's nothing where you're like, they're just trying to do a filler there. Everything's been like, this is really beneficial. This looks really interesting. This is a new development kind of in our field that I'm not real familiar with. So you're right. That's been
right. Very, I mean, everything has tuned in to the issues and the things that we're dealing with as dispatchers and supervisors on the floor every day. So I can't say enough good things about it. Like, I don't know.
But that's encouraging. Yeah,
That is encouraging for other people. You know, any other conferences going out in your own state chapters, you know, make sure you go on to this. You will learn a lot. And like she was saying, Bob, the other day there was a class that I was in where they didn't know about the lighting. You know, they were trying to turn the lights down to do their presentation, and they were showing a video, so they're trying to get the lights. And you came out of nowhere. I didn't even realize that anybody called you. And I saw you come in. And I saw, you know, the radio on your back pocket and everything. I was like, where did he come from?
He's
like a magician.
Stealth mode.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a ninja. You just came in. I didn't even hear you.
It's like pulls out his katana.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. You mentioned where we're at in your intro, that we're at the Lexington Lansing Hotel. And we've been here for 7 years, and I just need to add on or at least say that this is an awesome facility. The staff here is fantastic to work with. They make it very easy for us and our committee to put on the quality of program and conference that we do. And I'm not bashful to walk in the back of the house, if you will, but they've also helped us understand all of their systems and equipment, so we can facilitate that instructor in what they need without having to go and get somebody. We can do it like right now. And while Jen made the comment and the kudos, I need to compliment the committee. There are 13 people on this team that have made it happen.
That's great. And going along,
thankful for that.
Yeah, to piggyback off of that, with the staff here at the hotel, they have excellent customer service. One of my coworkers, she was watching the TV. This was actually just right across from us, and she left her phone there. And we were inside the exhibits with the vendors checking everything out. And I ended up getting a text message from my assistant director saying, get a hold of this person. The cell phone is at the front desk. I have no idea how, you know, anybody found that out or anything, but I had come out because she rushed out, you know, looking for her phone. And she says, where are you going? I said, I was looking for you. They just found your phone. So, you know, that's awesome that, you know, they were able to do that. And yeah, the customer service here has been great. And I can definitely agree with what you're saying, that they've been doing good things. Now, Sarah, with your dispatching career and everything, how did you get involved in dispatch to begin with?
Well, it was one of those things that I didn't know that dispatching was a profession. I didn't know that it was out there. I knew plenty of people that were firefighters or, police officers and things like that. And actually, when I was just graduating from college, I had a pre-law degree. And I just started applying for jobs in the paper. And one of the jobs happened to be with a local department. Now, I didn't get that job. But after that, I was so intrigued by the position and just amazed by the sit-in that I did and just the level of information and the resource that they had to do. It was just amazing. And my cousin is married to a deputy. And so he said, well, why don't you apply in the county that I work in? And I was like, okay. So I did. I applied. And 6 months later, they called me and said, we're testing. Come on down.
Six months.
Jeez. It was 6 months. And I tested, and I became a part-time operator with Allegan County. And my first boss is now the state 911 director. And when she hired me then, she asked me, she goes, what do you want to do in 10 years? And I said, in 10 years, I want your job. Well, obviously, I don't have her job because she's now the state 911 director. However, you know, it did encourage me to move up. And but I just had such awesome opportunities from starting out as a part-time operator to moving all the way up. So
that's awesome. Now, and you mentioned that you did a sit-in. So what was that like when you first did that sit-in? What were you thinking when you were looking at everything?
Well, it was weird. You know, you get to the building and they were in this room that was all secure, locked down, kind of, it was in Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And I went in there and the girl was real casual dressed or whatever, but she had this headset on and she was plugged in and she had all of this equipment in front of her. And I sat down with her and I was like, she's like, what do you know about being a 911 operator? And I'm like, I know nothing. I'm a sponge. Tell me what you know. And she went from showing me how they dispatch units to letting me listen to sample calls that she was taking. She even busted out the schedule.
Really?
And she said, you know what? I want you to know how difficult this is because it's shift work.
Right.
And how the type of schedules line up. And
so she was really realistic about
it. She was absolutely. And I wish I remembered her name. I don't know. She could be at this conference. I don't even know.
Right.
But I'm telling you, she was really an inspiration. And I sat with her for, I think it was like 4 or 5 hours. And just her attention to the detail that was there, how she cared so much about the people that she was working with. It was just, it was such an interesting environment. And right then I fell in love with it. And when I was talking to my cousin's husband, who was in the police, and I was disappointed because I'm like, man, that was a great opportunity. And I know I wasn't picked or whatever, but, and he's like, you should try it. You know, keep trying. You know, you're a little older now, whatever. And just maybe that wasn't the right fit, but, you know, keep trying. And I'm so glad that he encouraged me to do so.
No, that's good because you know, we need people that come into this profession. We need to have people do sit-ins like that because you don't want somebody to come in who knows nothing about it. And, you know, I'm not taking any away from anyone. You know, they could be great at it, but there are some people that we've had come in that they haven't done a sit-in or anything like that. They don't know anything about dispatch. And they interview well, and then they get hired. But then, you know, going through the process and everything, when they start their training, they take that first phone call and then they're out of there. So it was good that, you know, they were able to do that with you.
Now, speaking of first phone calls, Jennifer, can you relate back to your first phone call? Do you remember that? Do you remember the first time you picked up either a 911 call or do you remember that feeling that you had inside of you?
Yeah, like the feeling like, oh my God, I can't breathe. I can't talk. I can't wait. What just happened? That feeling?
Yeah, yes.
Do you remember
feeling.
The call? Do you remember what the call was at all?
No. You know, I don't really remember what the exact call was, but I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. I don't know how you guys do this.
Right. I'm not made to do this.
Wait. No.
Just for all of our listeners, you hear Jennifer saying this. She's your supervisor, right, with Ottawa County. Right. Yeah, so you're a supervisor even saying that the first call, you have that feeling like, I can't do this. That's a normal feeling that everybody has. So if you're struggling right now in your position, make sure you look to your upper management, look to your coworkers. I'm sure, you know, Bob would have some great contact points if we needed to get a hold of anybody within NINA. They're all more than giving. They can help us out. So just a little, there's my little plug for the night.
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
doing it. You're doing good. Keep doing
and,
it.
And that's good to hear because people who are listening to this too, when all of this first started and a lot of people started listening, there was a girl, and I can't remember what state that and you know agency that she was with, but she had sent an email to the fan page saying, I'm so glad to hear what you guys are doing because I thought that I was the only one that was dealing with stuff like this. She was in training and she was having a hard time, but one of the stories that she heard, she could relate to it and she was able to get through it that way. So it's good to hear you say that, you know, when you had that first call that you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. Or
what are you talking about? I still have calls where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. wait, what
just happened? That's healthy and realistic, though. Nobody should ever pick up a 911 call and be like, I know everything. I've taken every call. I'm totally comfortable. Deep down inside your stomach, I still when I see our red bar light up on our E911 screen, I'm confident, but I still pick up the phone like,
yeah, exactly. You know,
what is this going to be?
Yeah, and then when we pick up the phone, if you hit the button before picking up the handset, you hear everything first on speakerphone.
So your partners look at you if it's all screaming.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for grabbing
it. Okay, here we go.
It's funny that you say that. Many years ago, it was Christmas Eve, and I took a call. It was funny. We were actually talking about someone's wedding in our center. I don't know if she was my supervisor, but my coworker at the time. And we were talking about her upcoming wedding, and it was like very early in the morning on Christmas Eve. It was like 3 a.m. or something. And, you know, we were talking and some other things. It wasn't a very busy night, you know, that time. And the phone rang. It was a 911 call. And I'm like, I got it, you know, and I answered it. And I ended up delivering a baby on the phone that night.
Awesome.
And lucky.
But it was one of those nights that, again, nothing was going on. You didn't expect it.
Right, right.
And I actually have a recording of that my supervisor saved for me. And I said, okay, like 40,000 times on that phone call because I had never done that. I had gotten to the point where I asked questions, EMS arrived, but I never had to actually like, okay, the baby's coming out. We got to do this. And it was snowy. It took a while to get there, all that type of stuff. So it was a really interesting day for me, but that's just the thing of it. You don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
And on that particular instance, you know, I was able to really help a family that really needed it, but
it's funny, looking back, you can say okay as a question or as a statement. So you're right. If you go back and listen to your calls, sometimes you're saying it as like a question, like, okay, you understand what I'm saying? Or sometimes you're like, okay, let's move to the next thing. But yeah, when you're saying it 100,000 times, you don't catch it till you listen back through.
And when I talked to the dad after that, they had communicated with me. And when I talked with him, he's like, thank you. You know, you were so calm. And I'm like, I don't think he has a copy of this tape.
Right. I was terrified.
He hasn't heard this one.
He hasn't heard the recording. But
sir, were you there?
Right. But you thinking on the other end, he was way more nervous than I was.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And at least I had instructions. He didn't, you know, I didn't have any instructions. So I guess, yeah, you know, we did pretty okay with that.
But we're the voice of calm.
That's right.
And steady in their time of need. The majority of the citizens that dial 911, they will make that call once in their lifetime.
Absolutely.
That is very true. Now, Bob, as you're talking, how did you get into emergency services or 911? Because we were talking just before the podcast, and I wish we could have recorded or at least put it on video or something. We were showing his
we're wearing
the name tag.
Yeah, we're wearing lanyards around our neck.
Yes, lanyards. I couldn't think of the word. Jeez.
They have name tags on them, and it says what county we're from. So whenever he walks up to each other, you always cheat and like look at their name tag or whatever. But Bob, you can keep going.
Yes, he's got these little flags underneath that say everything else he's doing. Like mine right now, I have speaker underneath because I have a presentation that I'm doing. But you've got several of them, which could be rather intimidating. So how did you get to the position that you're at? I mean, how did you get started in all of this?
Well, your initial question was, how did I get involved in public safety?
Right, yeah.
So we have to go back into ancient history.
Oh, this will be good.
When I was in college, I had a college roommate that was working for an ambulance company. And this goes back to the days almost pre-EMT. So we're talking about the mid-70s.
Okay.
And one weekend, he said, why don't you come spend some time with us? You can kind of hang out while we're working. They had a call. He said, come on with us. And again, this is in the 70s, and this was before we had to worry about liability waivers and those kinds of things. So I pulled a call with him. And it was a nothing call. We got back to the station, pulled another couple calls, and towards the end of the night, and I was about ready to go back to the dorm, they got a call for a major personal injury vehicle accident.
Okay.
And it was a trauma scene. I got hooked.
Yeah.
Later that year, he decided to go on to a four-year school, said, my job's going to be open in the fall. Let's go talk to the boss. And to this day, I can remember sitting on the couch in the boss's house in Bay City. And he sat there and said, I will hire you, but there are two things you need to understand. Number one, you need to go get this new training. It's called emergency medical technician and that. I said, okay, I can do that. He said, the second thing is you need to understand that once you start doing this, you will never, ever walk away from this field of work.
That's
such a powerful statement.
Yeah.
Now, I was a 19-year-old college student that was looking at spending money in a cheap place to live while I was going through college. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, not a problem. Finished college, moved back home, small town with a volunteer fire department. For a year, I went nuts. Every time I heard a siren, where are they going? Where are they going? What are they doing? Ultimately wound up on the department. Spent 18 years on my hometown department. When the county decided to, at that time, the term was consolidate as opposed to, I don't even think they used the term consolidate, but anyway, they were looking to hire a new manager for their dispatch function. I took the opportunity to, well, okay, fine, and was hired as the first civilian director within a law enforcement agency and helped move that agency's communication center into today's realm.
Wow.
Spent 10 years there at St. Clair County in Port Huron. And then ultimately, SCC Communications, who is now in Toronto, the database and network provider for a lot of 911 across the country, had a new position that they opened up. And I actually was recruited for that and have been there with them for 16 years, helping 911 centers and agencies across the country implement technology, understand the technology, doing training. And I'm fortunate that they allow me to be involved in NENA as a regional director to represent 13 states from my region. And also fortunate that they allow me to be involved here in my home state to help put on events such as this so many people can learn about the technology network, have an opportunity to meet folks like you that are doing great things like this for our industry and our personnel.
Yeah, thanks. That means a lot.
So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Man, so it really got to you then, that first one. You've been with it ever since. That's awesome right there.
It really did. And, you know, it's a profession that's very much worthwhile. There are fantastic people in it. And I'm just fortunate that I have the opportunity to give back to a profession that did so much for me when we were implementing Enhanced 911 in the early days in my career.
That's great. And now looking at it, we're going into that next level. You know, like we were talking about this morning in that first class, it was text to 911, you know, the whole next generation 911 coming. So any one of you, if you want to take a crack at this, what are your feelings about next generation 911 and how that's going to affect, you know, the way we do our job, you know, the people that are calling in, everything that comes with it? Because, I mean, you got social media there, you got texting, you've got pictures, you've got video streaming. It sounds
really quick for
huge.
For our members of the public who aren't familiar with 911, what next generation 911 is, the texting capability for you to text your local 911 center, your central dispatch, whatever you want to label it, and get an emergency response via text message only. So that's what next generation is. If you hear that, it's not something that's been implemented yet. The big four,
not yet.
The big four, Sprint, T-Mobile,
I think Verizon AT&T as well.
AT&T and Verizon,
yeah.
They all got together and said that they were going to be compliant by May of 2014. So there's a lot of talk, discussion that has been going on at the state levels.
But a now lot this of standards is, and everything that has to be implemented.
But
first.
Now this is something that's really realistic. There's a timeline on it. And so it's now it's coming to the forefront, the front lines here for dispatchers. So do you guys want to, you know, share what your concerns are or...
Yeah, any thoughts or anything on it?
This is a really good topic for us to get our listeners involved because, you know, I came into this conference feeling one way and I left feeling another way. So,
well, and what I learned this week, I can tell you, is that I wasn't sure. I was really excited with one of the sessions I attended. They talked about how where people have implemented this, how it's affected their centers.
Right.
And previous thought process was the fact that it was going to be overwhelming, that this is just going to be, you know, a ton of numbers of things like that. And really what they're experiencing is that that's not the case, that it's a normal workload, that it's working for certain members of the population and not others. And it's not really that overwhelming. It's something that, that I learned this week that I was really, glad to hear that. And also I was really glad to hear that, that is available because there are so many people in our communities that do need a way to access 911 without actually talking on the telephone. And so I think that will be a great method for them. And so that's what I learned so far this week.
Jennifer, what about you?
I think that next gen means a little bit more than just texting. I think that with Next Gen comes data, it comes video, it comes all kinds of different things, you know, that the public will be able to send to us as 911 professionals. I do think that there are some concerns when we talk about sending video and things like that, that the impact and the stress factor that comes into us as 911 professionals to see some of the things that people might send us.
Right.
That being said, I do think that it's a very important piece of the puzzle as we move forward into, you know, the future in the technology that is out there for our consumers. So what I think is that there's room for that, for the data, for the video, and all of those things in some capacity. Do I think that it should come to us as dispatchers? Maybe not. But I do think that it's a very important tool for some of our first responders, some of the police, and different things.
Right.
As we move forward, you know, I think it could be really traumatizing for some of the dispatchers to see some of the things that people might send us.
Oh,
but I also think you know, I also think that it could be an extremely useful tool when it comes to law enforcement and you know, prosecution and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. I think there's room for it. I just think it needs to be regulated in a way that keeps all of us safe.
Yes, definitely. What about you, Bob?
Yeah, I can tell, Bob. You have you are ready.
Bob's got something to say about it.
You are ready to discuss.
I can see
this.
It.
Too bad we don't have our camera set up right now.
I know.
Bob's been wriggling around. So
I am ready.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think Jen hit it on the head. It's a tool,
mm-hmm. right?
And over the years, 911 has been faced with technology and changes, and one of the biggest challenges that we've had as 911 has matured is consumer technology always seems to be a step or two ahead of us in the 911 center,
right?
For a number of reasons, and now we all have smartphones. Every one of us sitting here at this table right now has been looking at our smartphones and staying on top of things.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And we need to catch up with that technology in 911.
Right.
In order to do that, collectively, all of the stakeholders need to determine what's important. No two 911 centers are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They run differently. They serve a different segment of the population. And as a result, they do things differently. And in Sarah's operation or her center, they may want certain information at the call taker level. In Jen's center, they may want certain information at the supervisor's level only.
Right.
Ricardo, in your center, it may be a situation where it's all or nothing. It varies based upon the operational policies and procedures, and I believe the benefit in Next Gen 911, because it is so data driven, that those kinds of decisions can be made at a management and an operations level with all of the people that have to deal with it involved in that discussion to make it be the right thing for that center. And each center can make their own decisions and still not diminish the service that the citizen gets, or the service that your customer, the responders, get, and the ability to take that information, parse it out or split it out, that the call taker gets what they need to handle it on the front end, and if there's more data, video, or photos, that can get pushed down to the street level to the responders, mm-hmm. or in the case of vehicle crashes, for example, the telematics, that information could ultimately be sent to the ALS providers, the paramedics, or ultimately the trauma center to help them better treat that patient.
And telematics, what Bob was just talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's our OnStars and those are the in-car type of response.
Sure. OnStar, Ford Sync,
yep.
Those types of things, Agero. It's the black box in the car at the time of crash that generates that information for us.
And they're still working on their programs, too, because we heard today that sometimes from the time of impact until the time that the local call center receives the call, it can be up to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also working on their kind of trying to route that call directly into the local 911 center, as opposed to having to go through, say, OnStar Central Dispatch, where they locate the telephone number and call us. And So they're all working on that information as well. But mm-hmm. you're right. That's very, very, very valuable information.
It's
out there. Just
it's all part of that toolbox that we can work with. Yeah. And in many cases, specialty contractors only work with certain tools to do their job. And if we have the whole toolbox and we can pick from what we need to address that situation at that point in time, NextGen can be very flexible, but it also allows a lot of information to be provided to the stakeholders that need that to help that citizen in the entire course of that call or that incident.
Oh, that's great. You know, before that class that we took about the text to 911 thing, mm-hmm. I didn't realize how the whole technology thing worked, because I actually asked the person who was presenting. I said, is a reason that this has not been implemented is because of those standards that have not been developed yet, because he kept talking about standards that haven't been developed and that they need to be put into place so that we can figure everything out. So I had that question. That was my question. Is that why, you know, things haven't been, you know, moving forward, is because of that? And then he explained, no, it's because the phone trunks, you know, they were originally set for, you know, yep. just the landlines. Right. And he explained it. So then after that, light bulb, you know, it all yeah. made sense. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, thank you. I understand it now. Now, you know, because I thought, if this has been around for so long, how come we're just starting to, how come we keep hearing it's coming? It's coming, you know, all of this stuff. And there are standards that need to be done. Well, now I understand. So, you know, conferences like this and classes like that benefit greatly. Now, Jennifer, we had asked you earlier about your first call, but did we ask you how you got into dispatching?
No, you didn't.
How did you get into dispatching to begin with?
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, my parents were both, and my mom was a deputy,
uh-huh.
Retired now, and my dad was a lieutenant. And I, you know, was struggling as a, you know, post-high school graduate. What do I want to do with my life?
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. And my dad said, well, dispatch is hiring. Go apply at dispatch. It's a good job. And you can do it. So I was like, oh, okay. yeah. So I went and applied at dispatch. And I got hired at dispatch at, like, 20 years old. And I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. And I go through training, and I'm like, really? Oh, my God, I can't do this. Are you serious? Like, really? What? And so I started doing it, and I, like, to be honest, like, I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate for this, but I totally sucked.
It's definitely appropriate.
Yeah, it's completely fine.
I totally sucked at taking calls and dealing with people in stressful situations. I didn't even know how to handle it. I was like, what do you mean? Wait, stop screaming at me. Like, why are you being so mean? I just want to, I have to ask a question. My boss said I had to.
I'm going to get QA'd. Just answer my question.
I need to get the points.
I need your cross street. Don't fight with me about what it is.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, seriously, like, what? I have to ask a question. Just answer. Okay. So anyway, so that's how I got into dispatch. And my dad was like, well, this will be a good job for you until, you know, you figure out what you want to do with your life and you know, like, whatever. So here I am. It's 14 years later, okay? And I went to school, and I got my degree, and I'm still doing this. So,
but you obviously dig it, because you've been here.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Right. Because it was that first call where, you know, like, I had a call. I was working. I worked in Muskegon before I worked in Ottawa.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I have this call, and this woman was like, oh, my husband's dying. And I went through my, you know, EMD. I was like, oh, my God, you're going to have to ask all these questions. And I told her exactly what I needed to tell her and what she needed to do. And she did CPR on her husband.
Uh-huh.
He was stuck between the wall and the bed, and he had a heart attack in the middle of the night. I mean, this happens all the time. These are routine calls, right?
Yes.
You guys have all taken one.
Yep.
Yeah. I took one. Oh, no, you weren't there. I took two on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Two of them.
Yeah, okay.
Great
so
day yesterday.
I've got this woman, and she's trying to do CPR on her husband who's stuck between the bed and the wall, you know, and she's like, he's not a small person. I don't know what I can't get him out of there. Wait. And I'm freaking out, right? So she does CPR on him. And later on that night, and I was very new to dispatch, like maybe 6 months in. And I'm like, I have to know what happened. Like, I have to know.
Yeah, because we need that closure.
It's an insatiable need. What? You cannot quench that need. It's something that is just inside of pretty much everybody in this world.
Right.
So, and this might have even been before HIPAA. So I call the hospital, and I'm like,
hey,
this is Jen from 911. You know, I took this call and I know they brought this guy to your facility. I have to know what happened before I go home. It's like 6 o'clock. My shift's over at 7. I got to know. And the nurse says, let me put you on hold. So she puts me on hold. I'm like, oh, great. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Go. Like, what's happening? So this woman gets on the phone and she's like, hello. And I'm like, hello. And she says, this is so-and-so. You know, obviously I'm not saying the name, but.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. She's like, this is so-and-so. You talked me through. I did.
Oh, you're on the phone with the wife?
Yes. She says, I did CPR on my husband. Oh my God, you were so amazing. I didn't even know what, you know, I didn't even know what I was doing, blah, blah, blah. And she says, and I'm like, you know, I this might be overstepping my boundaries, but I just have to know, is everything okay? Yeah. How's it going?
Right.
You know, and she said, you know what? Hold on a second. So she puts me on hold, and I hear this muffle on the phone. And all of a sudden, there's a man on the phone, and he's like, hello?
Oh, and I better not be the doctor.
Yeah. And I was like, hello? And he's like, you saved my life.
Wow.
You helped my wife save my life.
High
and
five.
I was like, yeah, exactly. What? And he goes, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that, you know, you were talking to my crazy wife who was, like, going crazy because I was dying. But I'm sitting up in my bed now and I'm good. And that's because of you. And I was like, what?
See?
And I was hooked from that point on. Like, I was like, goosebumps. Wow. Yeah.
Right there.
I know, right?
Yeah. I was hooked from that point on. And, I mean, like, I'm not kidding. Like, 2 weeks later, they send me chocolates at work. They sent me this really nice card that I still have, that I still keep. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, when I'm feeling down about my job or feeling like, man, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. This is, I'm so over it.
Right.
I get that card out and I read it. And I'm like, for real, we save lives. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, awesome. That is very awesome because we don't always get things like that. You know, and a lot of people don't know that we don't get that closure. You know, we go from one call to another and we don't always find that out. So that is an excellent story. You know, that's good that stuff like that happens. Yeah. When I was first, I had to have been about 2 years in or so. And I remember this because I have the newspaper clipping still. I had taken a call. It was wintertime, thin ice out on a pond. This mom called. She was very frantic, of course. Her kids were tobogganing. And the youngest little girl, she ended up going into the middle of the pond. And it was thin ice. And I kept her calm. I went through everything. We got everybody out there and they got her off the ice, which is awesome. Well, then a few days later, maybe it was a week or so, Sarah actually had the local newspaper and she said, there's a little thank you note in here. And aww. She said, who was the dispatcher who took it? And it was the family saying thank you to everybody who was involved. And I still have that. Mm-hmm. You cut it out and you gave it to me. And I still have that. So just like you, I have that where it was thanking everybody and the dispatcher and 911 who helped. So that is awesome. That is really cool. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I've forgotten that story now until you said that. So I'm glad that you kept that.
That's yeah, I do the same thing. You know, I still have it. And I think I've even blogged about it before. But yeah, that is good stuff there. Now, with this conference, we're going to go into the wrap up here. Bob, for anybody who is thinking or, you know, about the NINA conferences, every you know, chapter, they have a conference. So anybody who might be thinking about going to it, if they're unsure, what advice would you have for anybody who is on the fence about coming to a conference?
Whether it be here in Michigan or any other state.
Right.
Go. Absolutely go to the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Work to convince your supervision, management, whatever, if they're not sure that it's important, it's good. If you're really serious about it and passionate about it, find a way to do it on your own if you need to.
Right.
The National NINA website, nina.org, has a calendar section to it, and it shows all of the upcoming state conferences, training sessions. And I think it's just an awesome opportunity to learn. But more importantly, I think it's the networking and the meeting new people and finding out that I'm not alone in this.
Right.
As we've heard discussed so far in this session, the first calls are not an easy experience.
Right.
And you don't go through that alone, if you will. But at the same point in time, while 911 centers may be different, different sizes, operate differently, we're all doing the same thing. that citizen is reaching out to us when they need help. And I think the more that we can do as an industry to reach out to those that aren't sure, mm-hmm. some need some guidance, it's our responsibility to give back so we can help continue to create professional call takers, enhance this profession, and let the public know that we are part of that public safety circle. One of the sessions today, mm-hmm. it was the very first time that I've seen this graphic, but they presented it as the public safety circle, and it had each discipline within public safety, law enforcement, fire, EMS, and at the very top of the circle was enhanced 911 or telecommunications. He pulled that piece off the graphic. It was a Velcro board. He pulled the E911 off the board, and he said, the circle is not complete without 911. And to be able to attend a conference like this mm-hmm. in your home state and meet other people that are doing the same thing that you are and create a lasting friendship and bond with those folks to be able to lean on if you're having a rough day, to be able to lean on if you're implementing new technology or dealing with text to 911 or next generation or having an issue with your CAD or your mapping system mm-hmm. or your call handling equipment. There are others that have those same systems or platforms that have been through that.
Right.
And are more than willing to say, hey, Sarah, this is how we address this. Or Jen, how did you guys handle this situation with your equipment? So I could stay on this soapbox all night long about why for conferences.
Right, right.
And I will tell you that comes from the passion of being involved in every one of the 27 911 conferences that have been held here in Michigan.
That's awesome. What about you, Sarah? You got any advice for anybody?
Advice about coming to a conference?
Yeah, of course. From everything that you've learned so far, we've got one more day, but
Do it. Well, I think what Bob said really wraps it up. These are important to get out to as much as you can. And I know, mm-hmm. you know, one of the problems even where I'm at right now is the staffing and people are on vacation and, mm-hmm. you know, people are training and things like that. And but what I think I realized this week, too, is it's one of the things that I want to do for my staff in particular is to make sure I do more of this and to get more people out. And I think that if you can do it on your own, that's mm-hmm. fantastic, too. And if not, you know, bug your bosses and say, you know, these are the things that I want to go to. And, you know, these are the things that I can learn and these are the things I can bring back to my center.
Well, that's good. Jennifer, you're here from Ottawa. I think, were you the only one who was here this week so far? Or
No. No, we've had a couple people here this week.
You have 13 other gents here with you?
Yeah, like, well,
oh, that's true.
No, it's like 18.
Don't you have like 7 yeah. or something?
Like, I'm like, Jen, we number ourselves nowadays because there's so many
Ricardo
gents.
Said, that's very true.
Hey, wait. Ricardo said, Jen from Ottawa County is going to be sitting in our podcast. I said, she's here? And he said, no, another Jen. And I said, oh, that's right. They have so many of them.
Yeah.
So to any of our listeners that listen to our Crystal and Jen episode where we call everybody from Ottawa, Ottawa.
Right.
Jen is another.
Hey, this is Ottawa?
Yes.
Right. It's Ottawa.
I just want to be like, hey, girl. Hey, Ottawa. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
But if you had anything to tell anybody yeah. else going along with.
Okay. Well, I mean, like piggybacking on what the other two have said, right. I really think that these conferences are, you know, not only a like exceptional educational opportunity, but also right. an opportunity to network within the 911 community and talk to other people that are doing the things that we're doing, that mm-hmm. are thinking about doing the things that we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, learning about, you know, like Bob said, you know, what works, what doesn't, and all the different things. Like, I just, and it's good to just know your neighbor.
That is very true.
That's my favorite part about it, the networking.
Yeah. Yes.
Putting a face with a name. We transfer calls to you or Barry County all the time, and you get to know their names and their voices. They could transfer a 911 call and say, hey, this is Barry. I'm transferring a 911 call. And I say, thanks, Stephanie, because I recognize her voice.
Right.
Things like that. And
right. Well, yeah. You were in one of the sessions earlier that I was working in as part of the conference committee, and mm-hmm. I heard your voice, and I was like, I know who that is.
I have a very, yeah, noticeable voice. I've been told that before.
I was like, I've heard her on the podcast because I listen to Jen and Crystal's.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, I know who that is.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there was a call that got transferred, and it was Crystal who had transferred it over. And she says, hey, Ricardo.
It's Ottawa.
No, wait, she said Crystal. She's like, Ricardo, it's Crystal. Yeah, I was like,
Crystal's been really good about
hey.
It.
Hey, how's it going?
Who?
I was like, oh, I got a transfer for you. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, she's been good. Right. To everybody listening, though, we're talking about networking, and any of the background noise you can hear right now are actually other dispatchers that are just networking. It's 9:30 right now at night, networking. Almost 10 o'clock.
Having fun.
Yeah.
Having your beer.
But they are. They're just, you know, everybody's just sitting around talking, telling stories. Some of it's work-related. A lot of it's not. So if anything.
But it's good, though.
It's just good. It's just healthy communication between two 911 professionals. There's a lot of knowledge that can be shared between all of us. It's a good stress release. Mm-hmm. I really recommend coming here. You can learn a lot from each other and from the presenters.
Yeah,
definitely.
We exit our classes, and like I was noticing this today when I was sitting over here in the bistro with some of the other professionals. We exited our classes. We were done. It was 5 o'clock. It was over, right?
Right.
But we were still talking about 911. We were still talking about the things that we're doing, the things that they're doing, the things that we do different than what they do. So we were still, you know, essentially working. And all of that knowledge are things that we're going to take back to our centers. I mean, it's just, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the kind of experience that you can have at a conference like this and the things that you can take back even outside of the education, which is incredible.
Yep.
You know, all of the things that you learn from other people. Mm-hmm. It's something.
No, definitely. So, and on that note, we are just coming up on the 1 hour mark. So this is going to be the wrap up of episode number 22. Thank you very much, all three of you, for joining
us.
Thank
you. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, this was a good time. And as always, you can email the show on the jcast@thejabberlog.com. And we also have wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @Jabberlog. And this will be posted probably tomorrow, maybe even later on today, because I have a few other episodes.
Our listeners will never know.
Yeah, they'll never know.
This is live.
Yeah, exactly. But it'll be posted up on thejabberlog.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook. We've got a new Facebook fan page. It is facebook.com/WithinTheTrenches podcast. So thank you very much, everybody.
See you next time.
Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.